So I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the work that was conducted during my dissertation that was on the effects of high biomass cover crops and organic mulches on soil properties and collard yield after 3 years after conversion to no-till. So we all know that conservation tillage can reduce your erosion rates, improve your soil organic matter concentration, improve your soil moisture retention, which is important, particularly in Alabama, where, during two of these years we had pretty high stress levels of drought, can improve your soil structure and also moderate your soil temperatures, which can be important for fall production, say for collards. But the number one problem for, particularly for organic producers is, and other vegetable producers, is how to achieve adequate weed suppression without the use of tillage or herbicides. So there's an organic producer has several options: flame weeding or of course hand weeding, and those are all labor intensive. But one possible solution might involve the use of high biomass cover crops, and then you can terminate those using crimp and roll technology. You then plant directly into that residue and you plant later in the growing season, or you mulch later in the growing season, and hopefully you can achieve adequate weed suppression later in the growing season. Now if you're going to use organic mulches, you may be able to use some perennial leguminous invasive species that are already on your field, such as, say, Lespediza sericea or Albizia julibrissin, which is mimosa. So those are some of the treatments that we ended up using in this experiment. So the idea here is to combine the high biomass cover crops with organic mulches. And hopefully we should be able to simultaneously improve the soil quality while also obtaining a yield on an agriculturally productive field. So we're interested in looking at the effects on yields, soil, and we also looked at the weed populations as well, but I'm not going to talk about that. That's a separate talk on the weeds. So the objective was to determine the effects of the organic mulches and the forage soybean as a summer cover crop on soil organic carbon, carbon mineralization, total soil nitrogen, aggregate stability, and collard yield in a no-till system during limited input fall collard production. So when I say limited input, in this case, we're talking about no herbicide application during the collard growing season. The experiment took place from 2005 to 2008 in central eastern Alabama, utilized a 2x4 randomized complete block. The two summer cover crops were forage soybean and a weed fallow. The weed fallow was kind of a default. We tried to use sesame, but we just never could establish a good stand of sesame. So that treatment ended up being a weed fallow. And then the four organic mulches were Lespediza sericea, Albizia julibrissin, which is the mimosa. The mimosa prunings were 1 centimeter in diameter or less, and then we just laid the branches directly down in the rows. We used oat straw and a no mulch control, and the mulches were applied at 6.7 megagrams per hectare annually. So here's a schematic of our cropping schedule. At the beginning of the experiment in 2005, we initially plowed the field, and then we went and planted in rye. And after rye termination, we come in and plant our summer cover crop, the forage soybean. This is a dairy forage soybean. It grows, it probably gets about 5 foot tall, so it produces a lot of biomass. It's not meant for grain production. It's really meant, it was originally designed as a forage, but in this case, we're looking at it as a cover crop. After the summer cover crop termination, we come in, no-till transplant in some collards. 3 weeks after transplanting, we apply the mulches, and then harvest the collards 65 days after transplanting. Carbon and nitrogen were measured using dry combustion. The carbon mineralization was done using laboratory incubation techniques for 35 days at 25 degrees C, and then collected. The CO2 was collected in a NaOH trap. The aggregate stability was done using water immersion methodology, and then the yield again was done at 65 days after transplanting from the center of the plots. We used SAS to analyze SAS-PROC means to obtain means and standard errors. The variable selection was done using proc-GLMx, and then the treatment comparisons were conducted at the 95% confidence level. So After 3 years, we took measurements on the soil organic carbon concentration at 0 to 5 centimeters, 5 to 10 centimeters, and 10 to 20 centimeters. And on the x-axis, we've got the total soil organic carbon concentration in grams per kilogram of soil. And if you want to convert this to percent, you just divide by 10. So this is point, you know, this is 1%, 2%. So our initial soil organic carbon concentration at the 0 to 5 centimeter depth is running about 0.7%, which is about 1.2% soil organic matter concentration, which is pretty typical for agriculturally productive fields in Alabama, or in that area of Alabama. After 3 years, you can see even the no mulch control has basically doubled your amount of soil organic carbon concentration. Compare that to the mulching treatments. Lespediza and Mimosa both have statistically higher soil organic concentrations compared to the no mulch control. However, straw residue was not significantly different. It was numerically greater, but it was not significantly different than the no mulch control, which was not a result I particularly expected. That might be due to the fact that oat straw just has a high C-to-N ratio, doesn't decompose that quickly. And we also found that was the case at all depths. So your straw residue has lower soil organic concentration, soil organic carbon concentrations than the other two mulching treatments at the 5 to 10 and the 10 to 20 centimeter depths. So, you know, if we look at the mulching treatments, call it an average of 2% soil organic carbon, that translates to about 3.5% organic matter. 3.5% organic matter on an agriculturally productive field in Alabama is pretty high. So that would be an extraordinary amount of organic matter for that part of Alabama. So it's nice to have the data, but I thought I'd also just include a picture. Obviously, this is not a composite soil sample. It's just a single core out of a field. This plot is a control plot, so it didn't receive any forage soybean, nor did it receive any mulching treatments. But you can see we've got a good, it's 3/4 of an inch to 2 centimeters of rich organic matter there after 3 years on the leaving that residue on the surface. We also looked at nitrogen. These fields were fertilized, so the treatment differences you're seeing here are not the increase in nitrogen is not due to the treatments. It's due to the fertilization. But we did notice again that the mulching treatments tended to have numerically higher, and in the case of Lespediza and Mimosa, they had statistically significant higher total soil nitrogen concentrations compared to the no mulch control. Again, we're seeing that straw has a lower total soil organic nitrogen total soil nitrogen content compared to the other two mulching treatments, probably due to nitrogen immobilization. Lespediza and Mimosa are leguminous species, so they have a lower C to N ratio compared to straw. And again, we're noticing that effect at all the soil depths here, 5 to 10 and 10 to 20 centimeters as well. So some of our other results, we ended up with a lot of no treatment differences. So for the carbon mineralization, there were no treatment differences at the 0 to 10 centimeter depth. That averaged 12.1 milligrams of carbon per kilogram of soil per day over 34 days at 25 degrees C. The aggregate stability, no treatment differences at the 0 to 5 centimeter depth, with an average of 91% water-stable aggregates. The collard yields also didn't have any treatment differences. We averaged 17,900 kilograms per hectare. That's 16,000 pounds per acre. Just a quick back-of-the-envelope calculation. I'm not an ag economist, but just give people an idea of what our prices might be. So assuming 25% waste at 1.1 pounds per bunch at market prices for the harvest in 2009 would have been about $5,700 per acre. And that's not assuming any premium that you might be able to get from having herbicide-free collards. So in conclusion, we found that conversion to no-till did increase soil organic carbon concentration. Application of mulches increased it even more. The forage soybean did not affect the total soil nitrogen or soil organic carbon, probably because the forage soybean just decomposes too quickly. Straw tended to have lower soil organic carbon and total soil nitrogen compared to the other mulching treatments at all depths. And carbon mineralization, aggregate stability, nor yields were affected by mulching or the forage soybean cover crop. So with that, I'd like to acknowledge my committee members and my institutional partners as well, and I can answer any questions.
Any questions?
Yes, sir.
Michael, what's your source of mimosa? Off the area or plants in the area?
It was about 2 miles down the road, so we had some research going on to look at the digestibility of mimosa for goat production. And so we just use their trees. So the day of, say again?
You said up to 1 inch?
1 centimeter in diameter.
Oh, 1 centimeter.
That's right, yeah. So we, you know, the day of, you know, the previous week, I would take a sample, measure it in the oven so I knew how much I was applying. The day of the experiment, we'd have to kind of wait for sunrise to let the moisture come up, you know, the dew evaporate a little bit, and then we'd go and cut it right there in the field and then trucking it back and forth to the site. And the Lespediza was right, I'm sorry, say again?
Just laying, but not chopping it or
laying whole branches down in the direction of the, that's really the only way you can really mulch with, unless you're going to chip it.
But I was one, but you didn't chip it.
No, they were whole branches. Yeah. Any other questions?
How much decomposition of that do you see after the first season?
I just have a publication in Agronomy Journal that quantifies those. So we actually did litter bag studies on the decomposition rates, and we buried some bags and we kept some surface place. So if you're really interested in that, we can you can look up that pub. But from a visual standpoint, the Lespediza and the Mimosa would disappear. They have When I say disappear, you know, it would be over a year. By the time you harvested, it was still present, you know. But the next spring, you wouldn't really see anything. And then the straw would just hang around, you know. By the second year, you know, we were putting in we had to use some row cleaners to get the transplants in the second year because it was just so much residue on that soil surface you couldn't get to it. Yes, sir. Yeah, well, and that's another publication that I've got in the works right now, so you can look forward to reading that publication as well. But what we found was a big shift, and this is shown in the literature too, we found a big shift away from broadleaves and more towards grasses. So grass control became a real problem. Also during the first year, sedge control was just, we had like 20% soil coverage by sedges. I mean, it was just astronomical. You couldn't control the stuff. But by the second year, it was down around 5%. So we were really able to, I was very happy about that I didn't have an explosion in sedges on years 2 and 3. Go ahead.
Is the crimper an effective way to terminate a?
Yes and no, but you have to, the key to doing that is getting it right, you have to get it at the right time during the cover crop. So to crimp and roll rye, you want to get it at what they call the soft dough stage, so where the seeds are formed but they're not viable. And that's the other thing about these mulches. If you're going to apply mulches, you want to make sure that your mulches aren't going to have any seeds in them. So timing for a system like this is critical. It's kind of in theory, it didn't really work out. If we didn't get an adequate kill with crimp and roll, we would have to spray and then crimp and roll and adopt some emergency measures. So. Yeah, but we didn't spray at all during, we didn't spray herbicides at all during the collard production.
I was curious, you showed that the aggregate stability was the same. And I was just curious of maybe your thoughts on why that is, because you did show some increase in soil organic matter with mulching.
Right. What I think happened is we just had so much organic matter applied on those soils, even with the control plots. So you're looking at 3.5 tons per acre for rye. Then you're looking at, you know, say the weeds have another, you know, ton and a half. So, you know, annually and then times 3 years, you just have so much biomass being applied to that system and none of it's being tilled in. I think you just have an overwhelming amount of soil organic matter that, you know, to pick up treatment differences for aggregate stability, the differences in biomass that was being applied wasn't great enough to be able to pick up differences in aggregate stability.
Okay, we'll give the speaker a
Thank you.